Well, over this past week, obviously we've had more changes on the tariff front in the United States, and this is, from what we can gather, in the case of just moderating some of the higher tariffs for 3 months, other than for China. That seemed to come from pressure from Bessent, Treasury Secretary, who was in Trump's ear and was indicating some of the problems that have been arising. And most recently, the removal of the excess tariffs on electronic goods out of China. That's the IT crowd who've been in President Trump's ear. So he does appear to be prepared to moderate some of these tariffs in need. And it's just bringing back a little bit some of that pressure from the higher tariffs that we saw, and so the markets are reacting to that somewhat. But we've still got effective tariff protection, which is more than tripled from where it was at the end of the Biden administration. Back then, the effective tariff protection in the U.S. was around about 5%. Even with the changes announced over the past week, in the near term, we're going to at least 15%. And by the time we get to July the 1st, when some of those high tariffs come back, we're getting nearer to 30%. That takes us back to the 1930s again. So the damage to the U.S. economy is still there. It's going to occur, and that's probably going to strip something like a percentage point out of annual GDP growth in the United States over the next year or so, and add a bit over a percentage point of inflation to the U.S. economy, and variations of that for other economies with whom the U.S. trades. So we're sort of still watching all those damaging effects, and of course there could be more of it because, as we know, President Trump does these things virtually on a whim, and it's very unpredictable what he will do next. For the time being, the data is largely being ignored in the U.S., and it's interesting, though, that we've still got relative strength running through the labour market. Last week, we had initial jobless claims most recent week. There hasn't been a lot of damage to this. So the really interesting part is that for the most recent week, 223,000 from 219,000 the previous week, that's still very, very low and still suggests that the labour market is still holding together pretty well in the United States and still pretty tight. We also had inflation data out last week, and temporarily this is a little bit better. So, for example, the March CPI came out, and for the month it was down 0.1%, largely energy prices helping there a lot. And so as a result of that, the annual headline inflation rate came down to 2.4% from 2.8%, and the core CPI, which takes out food and energy prices, that was up, but not as much as was widely expected. It was only up 0.1% for the month. And as a result of that, the annual core CPI came down to 2.8% year on year from 3.1%. That's just giving a little bit of leeway there for the Fed when it gets to its next meeting. Obviously, it's keeping an eye on what's happening through policy changes in the United States. And we did hear from Jerome Powell that obviously there's going to be somewhat weaker growth, but also some inflation pressure coming through. And so it probably implies that, we will be getting some interest rate cuts going forward, they may not be as much as the market's been anticipating, because there's a lot of flip-flopping going on with what President Trump's doing with the tariff changes at the moment. Interestingly, the bond market has been coming under pressure too. And this comes back to the factor that when you do sort of destroy the US as the guardian of free trade around the world, and you put a question mark about the US being a safe reserve when the world gets into trouble, both its currency and also its bond market, that you can lose confidence pretty quickly. And it appears that some of the bigger holders, particularly some of the bigger overseas holders of U.S. treasuries, are starting to question whether they should be holding U.S. treasuries. And so we've got those sorts of pressures to deal with, and they're pretty unpredictable the way in which they go. But more likely than not, it means there's a bigger risk premium going into the U.S. Also, later in the week, we had April consumer sentiment came out. This just goes to show that the changes have taken a bit of a toll in terms of the way that the most important part of the U.S. economy, their consumers, are feeling. The consumer sentiment reading went down from 57. It was already pretty low, down to 50.8. That was weaker than expected. But inside that, we also had inflation expectations, and they've roared. They've been going up for 3 months now. Go back 3 months ago, one-year inflation expectations in this survey were 3%, and five-year inflation expectations were 3.8%. Last month, they were up at 5%, one-year inflation expectations, 4.1%, five-year inflation expectations. The one-year inflation expectations jumped to 6.7%. Yes, quite clearly, consumers are saying, forget being in the twos. We can see that we're staring down the face of an inflation rate which is going to be much higher before long. And so that's got to worry the Fed. And that's another one of those restrictive factors where, yes, it can maybe can cut by 25 basis points next meeting, but it's going to be very, very hard to do supersized a large run of rate cuts when you're facing those sorts of inflation expectations. The five-year inflation expectation has gone up to 4.4% from 4.1% too. So the consumers are saying, look, the inflation rate's going to be more than double the Fed's target and sticking there for the next 5 years. So that's obviously somewhat problematic. This week in the US, we'll get some more readings of where the US economy is at. We get one or two of the regional business indicators. So, for example, on Tuesday night, we get the Empire State Survey comes out. And that one, we're looking at still being negative, maybe just a little bit less negative than it was going back last month. Last month it went to minus 20. The market's looking for minus 14.8 on that. Later in the week, we get the Philadelphia Fed survey. That one had actually kept up pretty well, and it was at plus 12.5 last month. That one's expected to come back to plus 3.1. On Wednesday, we're going to get things like retail sales coming out for the most recent month. Now, a lot of consumers, they've been front-loading they can see that imported goods are going to be more expensive. So there's an expectation in March, retail sales lifted by 1.4% month-on-month after being up 0.2% month-on-month. So temporarily, you've got a positive effect coming through for retail sales. And it's there for core retail sales too. It's expected to be up about 0.4% after being up 0.3%. So they're looking not too bad. We've also got initial jobless claims still expect to be around that 225,000 mark, so holding pretty well. We've also got some housing data coming through too. We've got April National Association of Home Builders Index. That was at 39, may drift down a little bit to 38. And we've got March home building approvals and housing starts. Both expect to come back a bit, mostly weather-related. So building permits down 0.6% the market thinks after being down 1% the month before. Housing starts down 5.4%, but after an outsized gain of 11.2% the month before, housing starts broadly have actually been lifting over recent months. One of the features we're seeing in many economies is that housing is a backhanded beneficiary of all this uncertainty which is occurring in financial markets. And we can see it here in Australia too, that over the last couple of weekends, the bidding at auctions and auction clearance rates have been very high and have been showing signs of actually lifting over the last few weeks. Moving to China, last week we had CPI, PPI. China is bearing the brunt of the tariff changes from the US, and they've taken a hardline view they're going to retaliate, so the Americans are retaliating back. They get a little bit of a benefit, obviously, over the weekend where Trump has said, look, basically the higher tariffs won't apply to electronics electronic goods because he was told in no uncertain terms by the IT industry in the US that the iPhones could actually triple in price over the next month or two if he didn't do anything about some of these tariffs that he's imposing. So he's saying, look, I'm going to give you more chance to bring your factories on shore. They're not going to do that. So he's pushed back for the time being on those higher tariffs for electronic goods. But still, there's a 20% additional tariff, which is on all those goods. So it's still going to be some price pressure running through there. But as far as China's concerned, they're still facing this big headwind from being the country which has been hit hardest by what the US is doing. And they're still looking pretty soft on the data that's coming through. So basically, the March CPI came out. It was minus 0.4%. It's minus 0.1% year-on-year. Admittedly, it was minus 0.7% year-on-year the month before. But it still points to the fact that they've got a lot of excess supply, which is not being taken up in their own market because retail trade is not really that strong. So these are the pressure points for China. They've got to find a way of boosting their domestic demand. And this week we'll get more information about what's been happening. Later today we get trade data coming out there for the month of March, and it looks like exports were risen maybe 4.4% year-on-year. They were up, but 2.3% year-on-year the month before. That's not particularly strong. And imports, they were at minus 8.4%, might have improved to minus 2%. But again, sort of pretty soft. And then on Wednesday, we get Q1 GDP. They're still looking at reasonable Q1 GDP rate. The market forecast on that is it was up 1.4%. quarter on quarter. It was up 1.6% quarter on quarter going back the previous quarter. The year on year rate would come down to 5.2% from 5.4%. On the face of it, Chinese GDP appears to be going okay, with a soft edge on that. Some of the other indicators coming out, March fixed asset investment spending is coming out. That's expected to go sideways around 4.1%. Industrial production was up 5.9% going back to February. That'll come back probably to about 5.7%. And there's a hope that March retail sales will trickle up to 4.1% year-on-year from 4%. That's the part that really needs to improve. And when you're looking at key differences between the biggest economy, the US, and the second biggest, China, in the case of the US, consumer spending accounts for 70% of GDP. And when that's moving, it drives the entire economy, and that's what has been moving over recent years, and has helped to make the US economy one of the strongest economies. Now, President Trump doesn't want to admit to that because he sees a lot of that consumption spending going off in imports, and so they've been subsidizing the rest of the world. Well, there's an element of truth in that, but that subsidy to the rest of the world then comes back in more demand to the US, which he doesn't see. But when we're looking at the Chinese economy, consumer spending is just under 40% of GDP, very low by the standards of any other economy. And so that's what the authorities have really got to move, and that's their way. They've got to tackle this problem they're facing with President Trump too. They've got to get their own domestic demand going. They've made some policy moves in that direction, but nothing dramatic at this point. So waiting to see what happens there over time. Moving to Australia, and last week, we had mostly various sentiment indicators coming out, and some of these reflect the tariff changes in the US. Basically, the NAB business survey only reflects the early stages of the tariff announcements, but business conditions actually held at plus 4, same as the month before. So not too much damage there. Business confidence, a little bit worse, minus 2 to minus 3, but nothing dramatic. And the Westpac Consumer Sentiment Survey was taken after the big chart announcement of all those tariff changes and the dump in the markets. And it's interesting that yes, there was a fall in consumer sentiment here, a reasonably big one, -6%, but it came after a 4% lift the month before. So net, it's not a major change running through there. And we also had ANZ job ads came out last week, and they actually lifted for the most recent week, +0.4%, after being down 1.3% the week before. This week in Australia, we have RBA minutes coming out, so we'll get more detail on the way. That meeting, of course, occurred just ahead of those tariff announcements, so it'll be a bit dated in some ways in some of the discussion there. If anything, the discussion in those minutes will be about, look, we're just watching the data, and that's what's going to inform when we change rates. At this stage, there's probably change to the Reserve Bank thinking, yes, they will ease rates in May, in mid-May, when they get to their next meeting. But it's an interesting one because they probably won't do a supersized rate cut. That would imply there's an emergency, and there isn't at the moment as far as the Australian economy is concerned. And that will probably show in the labour force data that comes out on Thursday. There was a fall in employment last month, 52,800. Employment's expected to rebound some of that, probably up about 40,000 for the most recent month, and that comes out on Thursday. Participation rate came down a bit to 66.8%. That's expected, if anything, to lift very slightly. The unemployment rate might edge up a notch from 4.1% to 4.2%, but nothing particularly disastrous there. Moving to Europe, and last week, we had April Centix investor confidence. Well, that took a big dump. It went from -2.9 to -19.5. That's the impact, obviously, of those tariff announcements in the US. We had February retail sales, and there, looking at +0.3%, it was up 0.3%, and that was after being flat the month before. So, that, if anything, not too bad going sideways. In Europe this week, we've got industrial production coming out, probably down about 0.1%, after being up 0.8% the month before. We've got ZEW economic sentiment. That will undoubtedly come down to about 14.2 from 39.8. It was strong, actually, going back to the month of March. And we've got the ECB meeting. And quite likely, the ECB will drop rates again. They're already quite low in Europe, so the ECB deposit rate is at 2.5%. They'll probably drop it another 25 basis points down to 2.25%. Europe at this stage, there's a lot of talk in Europe about many things going on at the moment. Amongst them are how they can work as a cohesive economic unit to combat what Trump is doing. And so, if anything, it's galvanising them to think about how they look at their own regulations and how much of that can be reduced, and how they can perhaps expand budgets in certain countries, particularly in defence spending, where obviously they've got to do more in the Ukraine. A lot of that discussion is going on in Europe at the moment. If anything, what Trump has done is he's galvanised them to change, and he may be doing the same thing to China as well. That's where, even though it's a short-term hit to the rest of the world, ironically, what Trump has done may actually make the rest of the world stronger and the US relatively weaker. The exact opposite of what he thinks he's achieving. So, those are the sorts of things which are running through now. I would also add that I'll be away for the next 6 weeks, so the next morning conference call will be after the King's birthday long weekend, the beginning of June, so it'll probably be the Tuesday following the holiday on the Monday for the King's birthday weekend. It will be interesting. There will be plenty to talk about then, including what happens in our own election, which has almost been sidelined by everything that's been happening internationally.